This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Hello, hello, hello. This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are now on the level with J. Lewis Mills. I thank you all for joining me this evening. I hope you had a great week. I had a pretty good week, I have to say. I had a pretty good week. I will be, this is just very exciting for me, but I will be going over to Germany in May in order to do some public speaking, and I've got a couple of meetings that I have set up for myself over there, so I am really excited about that. Just stay tuned on my social media, and you'll see and you'll know more about it. But let's, as you all know, I just like to get right into it. If you have been following my social media yesterday and today, you do know that my guest tonight is country singer, songwriter, Sam Riddle. We are going to be talking about his new hit single, Vegas Strong, as well as asking him some questions about his journey as a singer, songwriter, and what brought him to being a singer, songwriter. So let me just stop talking and bring him in. This is Mr. Sam Riddle. How are you doing, Daddy-O? Thank you for being here tonight.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I like to do, you know, with my guests is I like for my listeners to understand exactly who it is that I am talking to. So just give us a little bit of background on exactly who Sam Riddle is and how long you've been singing, what you were doing before you started your singing career.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a loaded question there. So, I will, you know, I live here in Las Vegas. Uh-huh. I'm from Missoula, Montana.
Okay.
I spent a lot of my younger days up until I was 13 in New York City. And, you know, I grew up in a family that I was exposed to, you know, an amazing, a lot of things, a lot of amazing things. You know, my uncle was a composer on Broadway and a very kind of a big deal in the entertainment scene out there in New York. And my dad, you know, I obviously grew up, you know, traveling around with him, watching him. And so music was just kind of always around. And you know, sports kind of took over when I was young and when we moved back to Montana. But music was always in me and always a part of my life. You know, when I played D1 basketball, and then I had a short professional basketball career that, you know, stopped immediately when I saw how much money I could make playing the piano.
Yeah. Who did you play for when you played basketball? Who did you play for?
Well, I played for the University of Montana, and then I played one season in Puerto Rico, and then I was on my way over to Europe when everything just kind of took a huge turn. I was kind of on a dare. I sat down at this piano at this big casino where me and my friend were having dinner. And next thing I know, the manager wants me to play there, offers me a bunch of money to play there, and I just kind of said, okay, you know. That's to make a long story short.
Yeah. And, when you said that you used to, you said that you traveled with your dad. Was your father in a band?
Yeah, my father was from a pretty famous band where I'm from called the Mission Mountain Wood Band.
Okay.
And, they were still to this day, they're the greatest live band I've ever seen.
Okay. And, really?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they were amazing. And I think they were a little bit before their time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more I got to know about them and watching them and seeing the things that came after them and how music is today, you know, it's just so funny to see. And it was pretty amazing, you know. And, you know, when I was a kid, you know, if I wasn't going to a Broadway opening, you know, I was going to a bluegrass festival or some show with my dad. I mean, you know, it was pretty amazing childhood. So,
you know, your dad's band played bluegrass?
Well, my dad's band was kind of a mixture of bluegrass, rock, country.
Okay.
Yeah, they were, you know, it was a lot of rock and roll, but they had a lot of bluegrass influence. And when I say going to bluegrass festivals, that's after that band was over.
Okay.
You know, and I was still traveling around. He still played music. He still was involved. And so there was a lot of time on the road, a lot of time with my dad, you know, watching him, you know, and it was a different day, you know. It's so funny. I have a little daughter now who's 7, and, you know, she sneaks around with me, comes to these gigs when she's with me, and you know, there's so much so many rules now, and about kids being in these places and things like that. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I grew up in these places.
So, would you say your dad is or is still your main musical influence? If not, who would you say is your main musical influence?
Well, definitely, he's my number one since the beginning. I mean, watching him live, I mean, was something that was amazing. So he's definitely my number one. But, you know, now I'm influenced by, you know, I'm still a baby when it comes to music and this life that I've gotten myself into. And now my influences range from, all over the place. And they really always have. But I would always put him at my number one, the person that was my biggest influence in life, just in general.
That's great. Have you ever collabed with your dad?
You know, we've played together back when I was playing just piano and kind of just getting into doing music professionally. You know, I would have him play with me all the time. And then, you know, a beautiful thing was this last summer, I was able to play an event where their band opened for us it was up there in Montana, and I was able to, you know, get him out on stage with me at the end of our show. And that was a special moment for me.
How did that feel? Was that the first time you and he were on stage together?
No, you know, when he comes down to Vegas, I've pulled him up before, and that's been cool. But the cool thing about that thing this last summer was, you know, things have gotten a lot bigger. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge crowd, and it was in Montana.
Yes.
And it was just, I think it was special for me, but I think it was more special because of the event, because looking out at that crowd of people that I had seen at his shows for so many years. And and now, you know, here I am playing and he's up there with me. It was, you know, it's just a mixture of a lot of things. So
that's great, man. Now, before we went on air, we had just started talking about your trip to Australia.
Yes.
What was that about? And you said that it was amazing. What was the humbling, grateful moment for you there in Australia? And how did that whole thing even come about?
Well, they've been trying to get me down there for a couple years. A guy who has one of the people down there responsible for it saw me a few years ago in Las Vegas playing, and that's the cool thing about, you know, all these years that I played in Vegas, you know, you reach people from all over the world, you know, in one place. And I've been fortunate to have that opportunity. And this was one of these situations where this guy plays down there, and he thought that I would be huge down there. And he's been trying to get me down there, you know, and I've gone through all kinds of different representation and trying to find the right teams and things like that. And at the time I had people on my team that, things weren't going quick and a lot, they were kind of getting in the way of a lot of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of those opportunities that just kind of went to the wayside. And then it resurfaced again when he contacted me directly and wanted to still make it happen. And we made it happen very quickly. Anyways, I went down there and just the hospitality, the love, the friendships, the professionalism, everything I needed was there and more. I mean, I went down there and this guy, you know, he plays music, but he made sure that I had a brand new tour bus down there to
hold
down in style, you know. And when I showed up, all my equipment was there. The sound company was amazing. The band that I played with was amazing. And it was just, it's all about the people.
Yes.
You can have all that stuff. You know, the crowd could have been great. And the sound company would have been good. And if the company sucked, the whole trip would have sucked. Right.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes,
it was the company. It was the people. Being able to go that far away, see how far the music has traveled, listening to people sing songs back to you. It was just, it was amazing. So it's something I'll never forget. And actually a relationship with a country and a side of the world that, obviously is just getting started. And I'm very, very excited for that.
Yeah. You are listening to me talk to Sam Riddle. You are on the level with J. Lewis Mills. If you wanted to call in and talk to Sam or ask Sam a question, you can call 1-888-429-5471. That is 1-888-429-5471. I want to ask you a question, Sam. Go back to something that you said. You were talking about the representation, and I have to be honest with you, man. I completely 100% understand what you mean when you have to, you go through trial and error with certain people in your representation. Sometimes, and I'm pretty sure it's the same way in music as it is in acting. You will buy into people's smoke and mirrors. You will buy in to people's lip service. But how do you, as an artist, let me ask this question. How have you changed the way you bring people in to your inner circle as far as being representation? Because I know, I've only been doing this acting thing professionally for a few years, but I absolutely, as recently as not too long ago, I really had to step back and say, I'm good with all the lip service. If you can do what you say you're going to do, we can have a beautiful time together. But if it's just lip service, you're just basically wasting my time.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, it's like the bottom line is I'm doing this very – what I'm doing, especially in country music, I'm doing it very unconventionally. My decision to come to Vegas was based on the fact that I knew Vegas from all my years – playing seven nights a week, playing piano on the strip, and I got to learn the town. And I realized, I would be a caged animal if I was in Nashville.
Yeah.
Trying to play in the Bluebird Cafe. I mean, I'd end up breaking all the furniture in there. I knew that this place provided huge stages and lights and sound and people from all over the world. So that was already an unconventional thing. And along the way, like you said, it's trial and error. I've come so far on my own. I understand that, I'm not going to be dropped on my head anytime soon. And I haven't been yet. But all the lessons that I've learned have led me to this, have brought me through different sounds, have really been a catalyst for me to grow exponentially as an artist each year. it, rather than if I would have been signed by the correct label for me immediately, and then I'd be end up being, you know, part of that fishbowl and sound like everybody else. So, so I do have to be thankful for even the things that have gone bad, you know, and I'm a yes. big believer in, you know, I'm glad I got that no, or I'm glad that went wrong, because now, you know, I'm that much closer to it going right, you know? So, you know, I don't want to sound negative and trash anybody that I've been sure. involved with, but,
sure.
but I am very, I'm a lot smarter, and I see the sign. I see the signs a lot quicker. And, you know, those signs are different for everybody, but mm-hmm. somebody that's already talking too much and about what they're going to do 5 years from now, and they have, and you haven't even done the deal for today yet.
Yes, I mean, sir.
That's usually a problem. But, you know, I would say that I've had all different kind, you know, lots of people come and they say, you know, you're going to be the biggest thing in the world. I'm going to do this. And it really comes down to the fact that I end up doing everything anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really stay positive, and I'm very hopeful that the right team is being assembled as we speak. And you know, I've been fortunate all along the way to meet and have relationships with great people, and just that this isn't for everybody either. This life,
that's true,
and especially when you're chasing greatness and you're not just trying to be in the door. I'm not doing this to just, you know, be down the middle, you know, regular. You know, mm-hmm. I'm only doing this to be the greatest that I can be and make as big an impact on as many people as I possibly can. I could care less if I had a record deal. If I'm reaching a huge amount of people every day and bringing a positive impact to their life, then I'm gonna be fulfilled more than I'm fulfilling them. You know, so it's I don't know. I just you're in an entertainment business, but as well as me. But this is life, you know, for everybody.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter where you're at. And if you're the janitor somewhere, I hope that you're trying to be the greatest janitor Absolutely. Of all time.
Yes, sir.
And if somebody, whoever your boss is not allowing you to be the greatest janitor of all time, you need to switch bathrooms, you know?
So. Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, for me, of course, you know, I love being on television. I love doing films. But at the end of the day, for me, which it sounds like it's for you, it's all about inspiring people. And it's all about, you know, when people walk up to you and say they heard your story or they heard your song and you inspired them to follow their dreams. That's what means so much to me. When I have people telling me that they're working, oh, I've got contacts with this executive producer, I've got contacts with this movie studio, I've got contacts here, yonder, or there. You know, right. That's all well and good, but what are you going to do for me so that I can get on a platform to do what I want to do? I have noticed in this business, you know, when people see your potential, okay, so I don't necessarily want to use the word leech because that's such a negative word, but you will have people that latch on to you because they see your potential and they only see you as a paycheck. So for me, it's more so not necessarily what you can do for me, but what can you do for me to be able to get on a bigger platform to reach people.
Yeah, that's a great attitude. And, you know, we could go back and forth about this subject all day long. You know, there's just so many things that, you know, you're fortunate to have seen the things you see. And, you know, a lot of people, because you're obviously somebody that, you know, you're never given anything more than you can handle. And all these things are just beautiful lessons. And, you know, I'm like this, man. We are in a business where we can do this till we're 100, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, yes. Hey, I'm glad that I don't feel old in some office, you know?
Yes.
I hope that I can reach as many people as I do. And when I look out at the crowd every single night and I see these people, I mean, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's when everything kind of is just like, yeah, man, I'm right where I need to be right now. And, you know, I say we just leave it at that. I
mean, yes, sir.
There's a lot of lessons out there that we can learn from. And a lot of people, they're going to try to come on, you know, get on board. Mm-hmm. But really, it's about you trying to chase what you're trying to chase. And everything is a very small window of opportunity, right?
Yes.
And I learned a long time ago that if that window, you need to close that window quick, though, you know, and go to that other one and go to that door that just opened and be happy when that window closes, because that door does open. And
yes,
you know, all those things. Just be positive, because it's already written. Everything is written. It's just about us smiling and running through those doors. You know?
Absolutely. I believe that, you know, when that first, what people want to call that big break, once that door is open for you, mm-hmm. it is up to you to keep that door open.
Yeah. Well, that's the toughest part.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it is. Do you still, Sam, before you go out on stage at night, do you still get nervous, or are you more excited than you are nervous?
Yeah, I wouldn't say nervous. You know, there's a, you know, like for instance in Australia, you know, every single night is there's different things, right?
Yes.
You know, like when I'm with my band and we're on the road or we're here in Las Vegas, it's definitely not nerves. It's like, it's you know, you just pump. It's like another night, you know, at the office. Yeah. And I'm excited. And I'm excited to get out there, and that's excitement, and that's kind of a you know, just your blood's pumping a little bit and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
But there's other ones that you are nervous for. Like when I was in Montana, I was definitely nervous because there was a lot of things I had no control over, you know. And also with all the things and the distractions and things I had to deal with when you play in your home, you know, all the people you got to take care of and worry about, and you know, those kinds of things stack up, and then right before you go out on stage, you're a little nervous. When I was in Australia, you know, I didn't have my band. I had a backup band that had been rehearsing, and I was hopeful that it was going to go good. but preparation and practice and being ready, knowing you're gonna kill, takes away nerves. So that in that situation, I was definitely a little bit nervous. But once you get out in front of the crowd and you know the band, even if they mess up, they're gonna keep on going. Then everything's fine. You know. So what is
the biggest crowd you've played in front of so far?
Well, I was actually part of a group that opened up for Kiss in front of 60,000 people up there in South Dakota one night. But as far as a headliner, and you know, I would say about maybe 7,000, 8,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel when your show is over? Excuse me. How does it make you feel when your show is over and you have people come up to you and tell you that you touch them or you reach them or
they really like your
music?
Yeah, that's a great part. But that's still part of it. To me, that's still part of it. You know, it's like my switch doesn't really flip off until I'm driving away, you know. So that's kind of like, oh, that makes me feel amazing. And that's part of it, you know, like when I'm looking out there and that energy that kind of smashes together from between me and the audience and mm-hmm. kind of blows up into this, you know, unbelievable amount of energy that just goes up into the world. I mean, it's hard to explain, but you know, they I will say that I'm probably more nervous playing in front of one person than I am in front of 8,000, you know.
Yeah. I tell mean, people all the time, I can stand up on a, I can stand up on a stage and talk to a couple of thousand of people and be fine. But you put me in a situation where I have to talk to 4 or 5 people. If it's a small engagement, I'm no good. I just can't do it. The smaller the crowd, the more nervous I get. I don't understand that. I don't know where that comes from. But I, like you, I seem to excel when it's the when it's the bigger crowds. Yeah. Is there anybody, Sam, that is either in country music or in a different genre of music that you would really, really love to collaborate with on a song?
Oh man, I mean, yeah, obviously. I mean, you know, I would love to sit down and you know, play piano and sing along with Tony Bennett.
Oh yes, sir.
I would love to. I would love to have Jay-Z on a verse on one of my country songs. I would love to stand side by side with Garth Brooks singing to a crowd and feeding off his amazing energy. You know, I would love to collaborate with, you know, an Alicia Keys or Carrie Underwood, or, I mean, there's so many people, you know, my love of music and the things I listen to are so, I have such a wide range of things that I love and I appreciate. And it would just be amazing to do all kinds of things like that. You know, I think about songs. There's a lot of songs I write that I think that other people would probably, you know, crush more than me, you know, but,
okay.
You know, but
is there anybody from the, if, and again, same question, either from a different genre or country music, is there anybody that you would just like to sit down and have a conversation with to pick their brain about this entertainment industry?
Yeah, I mean, there's several people. I mean, you know, me and my dad talk about this sometimes about, like, you know that question where you, who are the 5 people you'd like to sit down and have dinner with?
Yes.
You know, and I would love to have, it would be like Jay-Z, Larry David, Jerry Seinfeld, you know, like somebody, those are always my main 3, because I'd love to laugh and get some knowledge at the same time, you know.
Yeah. Well, I've got 2 of those 3 on my list as well, so.
Yeah.
We're definitely in good company. You are listening to On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. I am speaking with country singer-songwriter Sam Riddle. If you have any questions or comments for Sam, you can call us at 1-888-429-5471, 1-888-429-5471. So let's get into, and we're going to be playing the song pretty soon here, but excuse me. Let's get into the conversation about Vegas Strong. Vegas Strong, for my listeners, is a song that, I'll let him tell the story, but it was about the mass shooting that happened at the country concert October 1st, 2017. And if you don't mind, Sam, can you take us back to that night and tell us what you remember of the night, because you were there in Vegas?
Well, yeah, I had just gotten back from playing out of town, and I went to dinner at Town Square, which is right down the street. I remember, you know, I came out from eating, and, you know, it sounded like I heard maybe helicopters or something. You could tell there was something going on, and you know, there was no one around, and you know, I was like, oh, there must be a wreck or something, and I'm driving out of there, and I look to the right, and I was like, oh yeah, there's, you know, it stopped up out on the highway. You could see the 15 you know, from Las Vegas Boulevard. I pulled right out to Las Vegas Boulevard, and I figured there was just a huge wreck. And but then you're driving, and then all of a sudden, an endless, I mean, literally endless line of cop cars.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like 200.
You do have a caller.
And they are coming down the street. And I was like, oh, my goodness, there must have been, like, a terrorist attack or something. I remember saying that.
Wow.
And then we all looked on the online and said, you know, that there was a, an active shooter. One of them says, like, Mandalay Bay. And then we were like, oh, man, that festival is going on. Because I had forgotten that that festival was going on because, you know, I had been playing that weekend out of town.
Yes.
So then when I realized that it's that festival, I'm thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, that's all my people, you know, like all the people that come to my shows, you know, that are from Vegas. You know, I mean, that's a huge population of the people that come. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, I know everybody that's there, you know, and, you know, but it didn't really hit me until I got home and started. And I saw, like, the first videos popping up, you know, like on Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah. And hold that thought 1 second for me. I have a question to ask you, Sam, but hold that thought. We have a caller for you. How are you doing, Mr. or Mrs. Caller?
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you, sir? What is your name and where
very
are you
well,
calling?
Thank you. Steve, my name is. I've just got a quick question for Sam. Is he coming back to Australia?
Is this my man, Steve?
How are you, bud? There you go, man.
My man. Oh, I love you, man. How you doing?
Good, man. I'll tell you what, you've never seen a bloke perform like this. This is going to be very successful down here. With this one BNS ball that he's done down here is the conversation and the topics we have running around this at the moment. This is going to be a totally different type of environment for our balls if somebody can't entertain like this man.
Man, Steve. Well, hey, everybody. Just so you guys know, this is the man right here that's responsible pretty much for getting me down there, and one of the greatest people I've ever met. And Steve, I thank you so much, man. And this guy's like family to me now. So I appreciate it, Steve.
Well, he's going to have to spend a lot more time down here, mate, with what we have lined up for him at the moment. So we're going to have to move him away from Vegas for a bit.
Hey, man, I'm down. I'm down to come down under
no
as much
worries.
As possible. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, we were just listening to you at work, Sam. I'll have to send you an email shortly of some stuff we've got lined up. Great to hear you on the radio, Dave.
Thank you so much, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, man. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. All the way from Australia. See, on the level with J. Lewis Mills is all the way live in Australia. How wonderful is that? Plus, it's Tuesday out there right now. So, yeah, I'm blessed for that. I'm sorry, Sam. I didn't mean to interrupt your conversation.
No problem.
Did you personally know anyone that was there at the concert? Don't have to talk about what happened to anyone, but did you personally know anyone that was there at the concert?
Yes, I did. I personally knew a lot of people, and I called people immediately, trying to find out if they were okay. And I didn't get a hold of everybody, but the people that, you know, there were some that I knew, you know, I knew people that we lost, and I knew people that were hurt, and you know, it was just crazy, man. I literally couldn't sleep for days, because I did it to myself by watching everything.
Yeah.
I wanted to learn. I was just like everybody, so confused. Nobody's saying nothing. Mm-hmm. A lot of things didn't make sense, and you know, it's just such a crazy thing that it was very tough on me. Especially, you know, thinking to myself, man, well, first of all, I didn't think about myself or playing, it didn't hit me that, oh man, I got to do this for a couple days, because I had a couple days off. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, I got a show this weekend. It didn't even dawn on me that now people are going to be scared. You know, I can't be scared to go play. I need to put on a strong front if I allow this to keep me from going out there and playing at my events and being scared, then what are other people going to do? You know, so, I needed to be strong, and I immediately, tried to get to whatever, people I could to not only ask them if they were okay, but I wanted to kind of, you know, on the down low, get to hospitals and play for people. And, you know, cause I have songs that right away I was like, oh man, this is crazy. This song, you know, fits, you know, I could, you know, playing some of these songs, I think maybe would lift, if I could do anything to lift up people's spirits. And, you know, so I tried to do that immediately, like when I could. And you know, it's just a weird time. I know it brought a lot of people together, but at the time, it was very, very weird and a very down moment for me and people in my world and people down here. So I knew I needed to be strong, but I was definitely not ready at the time to write a song, even though, you know, I was getting asked to write a song about it immediately.
But yeah, how did that whole Vegas Strong thing come about as well? How was it doing the first show after?
It was, you know, once I got up there, it was just fine. You know, I was like, look, man, you know, I felt grateful and blessed to be up on stage playing for people. I can't tell you how many shows that I've done where a huge group of people come and they say, this is our first concert since then. Thank you so much. You know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I mean, thank you. You know, because people don't really understand how hard it hit me. Yeah. You know, even though I wasn't there, I was right down the street and it's where I live. This is my home. It just hit too close. Mm-hmm. You know, these kinds of things you just see on TV and you hear it, things like that. And so it was rough. And then, you know, people were asking me to write a song, and I just, my biggest thing was I didn't want to look like I'm capitalizing on anything.
Absolutely.
You know? That was huge for me. And at the same time, I would have gotten in my own way. I don't know if it would have been as positive a song as it ended up being. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of, you know, but maybe it would have. I mean, who knows? It's hard for me to write and feel comfortable putting out something that's not going to make people feel better, you know? So anyway, so then, you know, months pass and this kid, who I kind of knew through people, came to me and said, hey, look, I think I can get the funds, and I know people that I can get this, on the radio, and I want you to write a song, called Vegas Strong. And I think I can really, think it would do a lot for people. Mm-hmm. And at the time that he asked me to do that, obviously, if I'm going to write a song, I would love to know that it's going to be recorded. And everybody knows it's not cheap to record things, right?
Yes, yes.
So the fact that this kid came, you know, saying that I can make this happen. So I just did it. I think it was a perfect time. I had an idea immediately, what I wanted to do. I think that it was I was definitely out of my own way at the time. So I think that's what made it possible for a song like this to be able to reach so many people.
Well, I think now is a good time. Excuse me. I think now is a good time for us to go ahead and hear the song Vegas Strong. And then come back and talk a little more about it afterwards. Is there anything you want to say to set it up, or you want us to just go right into it?
Well, I will say that the kid that Ali, who came to me and wanted this to happen. I do have him sing the second verse of the song too. So, and okay. He is a survivor of he was there, and which makes it even cooler. It kind of brings it full circle for me. And you know, also along with the song, make sure you guys do check out on the video on my YouTube page. And after you listen to it, it's cool to get some visuals of some people that were actually there, and to kind of get the feel of the song even visually after this.
Absolutely. So without any further ado, I would like to go ahead and play the song Vegas Strong.
She's not much of a back row. She's a stand up front, singing every single note. She's tatted up with cut off jeans. She's a country fight American dream. Her life is right there in every alley line. Through the sad and the hate that can enter her mind, the hellfire rained on down, and it happened in her own hometown. Yeah, you thought that you could break her, but fear don't live here long. 'Cause she's a freedom fighter, up all nighter, a neon lighter. She's a survivor, gonna keep on raising hell, 'cause if she don't, then the devil wins. She's going back in, first responding, helping and doing whatever it is she can. Looking like the city of sin, from the outside looking in. You thought that we'd stay down, but you were wrong. Dusty work boots and a long cuss coat. He's a car hard with cut off sleeves. He's chasing that American dream. The lightning in his soul from a cowboy song keeps 14 hour days just a powering on. When you're getting down and running scared, he'll be standing up tall with his finger in the air. Yeah, you thought that you can break him, but fear don't. If we don't, then the devil wins. We're going back in, first responding, helping and doing whatever it is we can. Looking like the city of sin, from the outside looking in. You thought that we'd stay down, but you were wrong. Oh, our country music hearts strong. Yeah, we're Vegas strong.
Okay, I'm gonna, first of all, that was a great song, but we have so many songs that are coming out that talk about absolutely nothing. I really, really wish this song, and I understand you said you didn't want to capitalize on anything. I understand you said that, you know, you didn't really want to make this as like a mainstream type thing, but that song has power to it. That song has inspiration to it. That song has motivation to it. And I just want to commend you as a songwriter for writing such strong, inspirational, powerful lyrics, because that was a good song.
Hey, well, thank you. Well, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind if it went mainstream.
Okay.
at the same time, it's like, it's what it's about. You know, that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, if it went mainstream, that means it would get out on the radio and more people would hear it. So that's what it's about. And I think the thing I love about the song is it doesn't have to be Vegas Strong. Doesn't need to mean just people in Vegas, you know.
Absolutely.
Every single day there's something going on, and you know, it's whether it's Toronto or London, or you know, a flood, a storm, or some other idiot at some church, you know. I mean, it's like the song, I hope, reaches and cuts through to all those people that need the strength. And you know, it's so funny, I worked out at this gym in Australia. Mm-hmm. and they have these sweatshirts that I was given by my good friend and down there, and they're saying it's just strong.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know something, that is amazing. And it's kind of crazy that's the sweatshirt that I got from them.
Yeah.
And you know, just being strong, you know, Vegas Strong means wherever you're at, being strong. And the two characters that I had in mind for those verses, mm-hmm. were characters that I felt represented the people that were there, you know, from all the photos and videos and the people that I know. And it's so funny because I had two faces in mind that I felt represented those people. And those are the two people that are in the video, for each of those verses. And the girl was actually there. The guy wasn't, but I feel like every dude that was there is just like this guy, you know,
it's like him. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, just, I mean, these people that come to these shows and pay all that hard earned money to go to these festivals and escape and see these people that sing these songs that they listen to driving around, that get them to and from work, and it's just amazing, the love and especially in the country music genre, you know.
Yeah.
These people and I don't know, it's just crazy. So you know, the whole song is very real. The characters are real, and I'm very fortunate that it came out the way it did.
Speaking of love, Sam, it seems as though we have somebody that's on the phone right now that is not only a very big fan of yours, but she was also in the music video. Vegas Strong. Her name is Tina Green. She is an actress that you know pretty well from Los Angeles. Are you there, Tina?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing, ma'am?
Doing good. How are you?
I am doing very good.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, Sam.
I love you so much. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome, and I love you, too.
I have a couple of questions for you, Tina, since I have you on the phone. What did you do? What type of research, or where did you go before you did the music video to learn more about it? What did you do?
So the night before I did the music video, I decided that I wanted to go over to the Route 91 Memorial to see what it was like. And I got to meet some of the survivors that were at the massive shooting.
And how did that affect you?
It was pretty emotional. Because there were a lot of pictures at the memorial of everyone who died in that massive shooting.
What did it mean to you to be in the music video? How did you feel about being in the music video, and what type of a message did you want to convey while you were there in the music video?
I wanted to convey hope for the future.
Okay. And how long have you known Sam for? How did that whole thing come about that you got to be in the music video?
Well, I've known him for, I think it was 2016 where I did his first music video.
Okay. Do you have any questions for Sam, or do you want to say anything to Sam?
Yes, I miss you, Sam.
I miss you too. Thank you so much for calling. You're just so sweet, and I thank you so much for being such a huge part of this song and this video, and just your presence in it helps reach so many people because you're so beautiful and you're so sweet, and that comes off on camera. And anytime I can be around Tina is a great day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for calling, Tina. I hope you have a good rest of your night. And yeah, thank you very much for calling. It meant a lot to me that you called in.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You have a good night.
You too.
All righty. Bye-bye. See, man, it's things like that are just so heartfelt and heartwarming. You know, just the level of camaraderie that it seems and the level of chemistry, because I watched the video more than once. And it doesn't seem like anything that's staged, so please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But I can absolutely feel the and I know this might sound a little cheesy, but I can absolutely feel the love radiating through your lyrics. And then the visual, there's some songs that you can hear or that you hear, you know, the song is powerful, but then when you go and watch the music video, it's like, okay, they just put this together. Mm-hmm. The song as well as the music video, in my opinion, are very heartfelt and heartwarming. And you can't fake anything like that. That has to be real. That has to come real from everyone. So it really just speaks testament, in my opinion, it just speaks testament as well as it speaks volumes to you and about you, about, you know, how much you love your work and how much you put into your work, as well as the people that you will have around you. So again, kudos to you for a great video and a great song.
Thank you so much. And I just want to say one thing about Tina. You know, she it comes off real because she is real. I mean, you can tell her, you can give her direction, but she's, even when you give her direction, what you're seeing is a real thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Like when I tell her, like, come over there and I want you to look at this, and really, I'm not asking her to act. I just want her to look at these things and hang out and look. And when she's looking around, she's really looking at these people and thinking about them. She's like she's like the sweetest soul ever.
Yeah.
And just meeting her. You know, I always told her that anytime I can put her in a video, I will. And, you know, she came to, you know, she saved up money for, geez, I mean, I don't even know how long, to come see me at a show. And it was at that show where she asked me if I was, gonna have another video soon. I said, the next video you're in, honey, you know, so so there you go. She's just great. So I'm thank you for taking that call. She's great.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how has the how has the reaction been for Vegas Strong? Like what has been your feedback so far from Vegas Strong so far?
Well, it's been all good, all amazing. You know, it is exactly what I hoped it would be. You know, and the cool thing about it is that, you know, it's reaching pretty far, but it still hasn't reached you know, very, very far when it comes to, like, you know, the ability it has to reach, right? So, you know, this will be interesting to see, you know, how long. This is one of those songs that I think has a really long life. You know, I recently just got kind of obsessed with the fact that I only want to make songs from now on that I know will live forever. And I think the only way you can do that is be as real as possible and to have everything from the production to the words to everything, mm-hmm. You know, come from, you know, just like no outside influences, mm-hmm. you know, I believe that every single person has something inside of them that could last forever, that they could bring, that is greatness. If you do it from within and not really let other people cast their fears on you and have that, you know, hidden, or it doesn't come out the way it was meant to come out. This is one of those songs that I feel will stay around for a while because it comes from a very real place, and all the reactions have been real and heartfelt, and you know, that every time we play it, you see tears and smiles, and the crowd fills up even more so than it already was. And mm-hmm. it gets people that feel like sitting down and just enjoying the show. They can't help but be a part of, like, the community that you know, happens at the show, where everybody's getting together and putting their arms around each other. And because it's a positive song, mm-hmm. it's, you see the smiles and people moving to it and screaming and you know, I'm just so happy. I don't know. I just feel very blessed for how it's going.
Is this the song that I understand. I was going to ask you if this is a song that you have added to your set list, but you kind of already answered that question.
Oh, definitely.
Is this the song that you end your show with, or do you do this during the show at some point?
Yeah, I do it during the show. You know, I just kind of, you know, definitely if I mean, we play almost every night. So sometimes it doesn't get in, but if I find out there's survivors in the house,
yes,
or anybody that is touched, you know, I'm so thankful that they told me they were there because it reminds me to play it.
Yeah. Have you heard from, other than the gentleman that was in the video and other than the young lady that was in the video, have you heard any feedback from families of people that didn't survive?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a huge part of it. You know, the families that have lost people, that have been affected. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the ones that send the longest messages. I mean, they tell me their stories. They tell me, you know, there's a huge majority of that, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to this song in particular,
uh-huh.
You know, you've kind of answered it a little bit, but I kind of want to get to the meat of your answer, so to speak. Maybe meat's the wrong word to use, but I want to get to the depth of your answer. What does this song really mean to you? Like, once you recorded it and once you heard it, what was your first reaction or your first thought after you heard the finished product?
That it's correct. You know, okay. I mean, I sent the song to a couple producers, and you know, because people know that I like to have different sounds and to try to push the envelope and see where I can take things and see how different I can make it. Mm-hmm. And everything I was getting back was wrong. When I just took my band in there, and we just kind of did what we do, where we just, it was stripped down, but at the same time it had so much feeling, and I was able, when it was done, I knew that it was right. And the song means to me, it's really about, you know, it's a reminder for myself too, that, you know, the biggest line for me in there is fear don't live here long, you know? And to me, that's just, that's every single day. I mean, every single day we're making decisions, out of love or out of fear, right? Or out of, you know, like a confident, you know, you're supposed to do this. And all the mistakes we're making in life are because we are fearful, I believe, you know, one of the reasons, right?
Yes.
And you know, this is just a reminder for everybody to live, you know, life to the fullest. Keep coming to the shows. Go to work with a smile on your face. Don't be scared. You know, go to church. Don't be scared somebody's going to come in there and be stupid. Live, keep going to everything. You know, if you stay at home and are just so scared because of one idiot, then he wins, you know.
Yeah, and you miss a lot of blessings.
Exactly. So that's really what it's all about. It's about looking around this town and seeing these people still going, you know, still going to work, getting through this. A lot of people are taking longer than others. You know, I have a very good friend who, you know, has to go to therapy and stuff like that. And this song gave her the strength to get past those things and even go back to Mandalay Bay and walk through, just as the next step. It gave her the strength to do that, you know? So, you know, just things like that. I mean, that's a huge move.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
I mean, I still can't even look at that place when I drive by, you know, it's hard, you know? So, you know, you hear things. I mean, the PTSD is a real thing.
Yes, it is. It is.
It means a lot that it's hitting people, it still gives me goosebumps when we do it live. I mean, really, it really does. It's an amazing thing.
That is very amazing, and I just have to thank you, man. We have come to the end of the show. It doesn't seem like it. I'm telling you, every week that I do this show, it seems like I'm only talking to people for 20, 30 minutes. It doesn't even seem like a whole hour went by. But
well, I appreciate you, man. This is actually a very cool thing you got going on here. It's very real, and it's not staged, and you know, you're a real dude. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on, and I hope to do it again. And to Absolutely. All the listeners out there, check it all out. Hit me up on Facebook, Instagram. Check out the music, Spotify, iTunes, and YouTube. And keep listening to your boy, Jay Lewis, man. This is a great thing on the level. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Now, if anybody is coming from or if anybody is in Vegas and has never seen your show, or if anyone is going to be visiting Vegas, where can people go to see you play?
Well, the best thing to do is always check whenever you're coming and you want to come to a show, check out my Facebook. My new website is almost done, samriddlemusic.com. There'll be all my shows on there. But in the near future, here April 30th through May 6th, seven nights in a row, I'll be at Harrah's inside Toby Keith's bar here in Las Vegas. I'll be back in Laughlin, Nevada at the Aquarius, Memorial Day weekend, May 24th through the 27th. So, if anybody can make those shows, I urge you to come out and, come up and meet me and have a good time. Be ready to party.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, man. And, you know, I usually end my show with some type of commentary. And, you know, I just kind of have to piggyback off of something that you said. You know, we as a nation, we as a world, we can't let the negativity of some people keep us down. We can't let the negative things that happen, the horrific things, we can't become a recluse because we're so scared to come out. Because as I said, you're going to miss a blessing. You know, I'm a firm believer. If God says your time is up, your time is up. You're not going to save time by staying in the house. You're not going to save time by not going here, yonder, or there. And I mean, there have been mass shootings or horrific situations that have happened in churches, libraries, workplaces, amusement parks, concerts, movie theaters, and basically anywhere you go, anywhere where people congregate, the chance of something to happen is there. If you are not a country music fan, I still invite you to go and watch this music video and get a little bit of motivation and inspiration for your own being, your own welfare, and your own life. This, as Sam said, this is one of those songs that's not only going to live on for a long time, but this song can be played for anything, anybody, at any time. And just because it says Vegas Strong, that doesn't mean that it's only for Vegas. That doesn't mean that it's only for Las Vegas. Sure, it was done because of a situation that happened in Vegas, but Sam, this song, these lyrics, it's not that it's only in care of Vegas. This is for all of us. So anybody that has gone through anything, just go back and really listen to these lyrics. The lyrics, I mean, the music is great, but go back and listen to these lyrics. These lyrics are powerful. These lyrics are inspirational. And once again, Sam, I thank you so very much for being here and talking to my listeners. And we will absolutely do this again. When you have a song coming out and you want to premiere it on here, just know you always have a home here on The Level with J. Lewis Mills.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, sir. And that is it for us this week. Next week, I'm really kind of looking forward to the show. Next week, wait a minute. What's today's date? Today's the 20th. Is next Wednesday May 2nd?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I am absolutely looking forward to the show next week because I get to have my homegirl Ty Emery on again, and we always seem to have a good time. She has, she's got something coming up. I won't talk about it. I'll let her do it. Let her tell you all about it. But if you didn't hear the show that we did before, I invite you to go to the archive and listen to the show that I invite you to go and listen to the show that we did the last time. And if you don't know who Ty Emery is, you spell her name T-A-I-E-M-E-R-Y. Google her, see what it's all about, and then come back and join us next week. Again, thank you all for joining me. We are out. Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.